Right now, for several decades, members of Congress have been predominantly Christian. In fact, 91% Christian in the most recent tally.
But that's at odds with trends in the U.S. population as a whole, which is much more diverse in its religious beliefs. The group seeing the largest growth is those with no religious affiliation, also called the nuns.
Greg Smith joins us now. He's been crunching these numbers. He's Associate Director of Research for the Pew Research Center and works on their domestic religion research, including their Faith on the Hill reporting. Greg, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is kind of a tale of two populations, who's in Congress and the rest of us. And let's compare and contrast. First of all, break down the religious affiliation of Congress for us.
Well, the religious affiliation of Congress is quite interesting. The number one thing to point out is that the big majority of members of the new Congress are self-identified Christians. In fact, 91% of all members of Congress, the new Congress, describe themselves as Protestants or Catholics or Mormons or other kinds of Christians. The remaining 10%, 9% or so of people in Congress identify with other faiths, the largest of which is Judaism, but there are also Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and one Unitarian Universalist in Congress. The group that's really underrepresented in Congress, at least relative to their share of the general population, are people who say they have no religion. There's just one person in Congress who says they have no religious affiliation at all. Just 0.2% of members of Congress say they have no religion. Compared to the general public, where 23% say they have no religion, and that's a big, notable disparity.
Right, and that's been a big historical trend, a change in the United States and the population as a whole, right? People have been talking about the rise of the nuns, people who, it doesn't mean they're atheists necessarily, but they don't have a religious affiliation.
That's exactly right. If you look back over time at trends in religion among the U.S. population as a whole, what you see is that over the last few decades, the share of Americans who identify themselves as Christians, especially the share who identify as Protestant, that number has been coming down. Over the same period, ever since the early 1990s or so, the share of Americans who describe themselves as atheists, agnostics, or as just nothing in particular when it comes to religion, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that group has been growing very dramatically. In our latest data, almost a quarter of all adults in the United States say they have no religion. That trend isn't evident at all in Congress. In Congress, in the new Congress, 91% describe themselves as Christians. That's virtually unchanged since the early 1960s, which is the earliest point for which we have data. And there's just one person in Congress, just 0.2%, that describes themselves as religiously unaffiliated.
Right. Did I see a number in the early 1960s? It was 95% Christians in Congress versus 91% now. Not a big move in the needle there.
Almost no movement of the needle at all. That's right. In the early 60s, 95% of members of Congress described themselves as Christians. That number has bounced around a little bit between about 90% and 95% in the intervening decades, but the trend line is really a picture of stability.
There is some movement in what kinds of Christians in terms of denomination. What kind of changes have we seen there when it comes to Congress?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Even though the share of people in Congress who are Christian has been quite stable, there have been some important changes in the relative proportion of people from different kinds of Christian groups. Most notably, the share of Protestants in Congress, the share of members of Congress who identify themselves as Protestants, has been coming down, while the share of people in Congress who are Catholics has been going up. In fact, in the early 1960s, about three-quarters of everyone in Congress was Protestant, and only about 1 in 5 were Catholic. In the new Congress, 56% describe themselves as Protestants, and almost a third, 31%, identify themselves as Catholics.
We're talking to Greg Smith from the Pew Research Center, looking at faith in the American population as it compares to Congress. And Greg, let's get a little bit into why this is. In other surveys, you've looked at voters' attitudes toward a lot of different factors for politicians. One very striking one in past research is people really don't seem to want to elect people who don't have a faith, who are religiously unaffiliated.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, these findings about the religious composition of Congress raise the obvious question. If the religious nuns are growing in the population as a whole, then why isn't their representation, why isn't their Why aren't religious nuns growing in Congress? And the data can't say for sure. We can't prove it's this or that. But we do know from other surveys we've conducted among the public that many people tell us that they want to vote for elected officials who are themselves religious. About 6 in 10 Americans this year, in 2016, about 6 in 10 Americans said that it was important to them for the president to have strong religious beliefs. And similarly, in 2014, we found that about 6 in 10 Americans said they thought it was important for members of Congress to have strong religious beliefs. So people say they want to vote for religious candidates. At the same time, the share of Americans also tell us that they are much less likely to vote for a non-believer for elected office if given the choice. They really say they prefer to vote for religious candidates.
Does it matter if that candidate happens to be the same religion, same denomination even, as they are?
Well, that can make a difference. We know, for example, that that people tell us that they'd be more comfortable voting for a Christian or even a Jewish candidate than they might be to vote for a Muslim or perhaps even a Mormon candidate. So that can make a difference. But there's also something to be said for just being a believer at all.
As long as you believe in something.
That's exactly right. Believing in something seems to count for a lot.
And then we have Donald Trump getting elected this year, and you've had past surveys where people rated Republican primary candidates on how religious people thought they were. Donald Trump appears to have scored very low, and yet a lot of people of faith ended up clearly voting for him. I don't know if you've been able to sort this out yet, because this is still pretty fresh stuff in a lot of ways. What do you make of that?
Well, I think what it tells me is that you really can't overstate the power of opposition in American politics. You're absolutely right. When we asked voters, Republican voters, back early in 2016 about whether or not they thought the leading Republican candidates were religious or not so religious, lots of Republicans said they didn't think Donald Trump was particularly religious, but they said they thought that he could make a good or a great president anyway. And part of the reason for that is there was their deep opposition to Hillary Clinton. Even if they had reservations about Donald Trump's own religious backgrounds and other kinds of reservations, they told us that if it came down to a choice between Donald Trump, a Republican, and Hillary Clinton, the Democrat, that they would support Donald Trump. And that turns out to be exactly what happened.
Now, with this whole mismatch between, as you say, just under 1 in 4 people being none, religiously unaffiliated, versus only 1 people in all of Congress having that same designation. What's happening there? I can think, you know, there are religions that are distributed in particular geographic areas. So you might expect, you know, representation here, but not there. Is it that the unaffiliated people are spread around the country so much there's not a pocket of them that is electing people? Or maybe that the nuns aren't looking for a similar candidate? I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities there.
There's a lot of possibilities, and it's hard to, you know, differentiate how much is due to this and how much is due to that. I would point to a couple things, though. One is that keep in mind that one of the factors that's driven the growth of the religious nuns in the general public is generational replacement. That is to say, religious nuns are much more numerous among young adults than they are among older people. And, of course, we also know that younger adults turn out to vote at lower rates, and they might also seek elective office at lower rates compared to those who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s. So it could be that as millennials get older and perhaps begin to vote at higher rates and perhaps to begin to seek elective office on their own, that some of these patterns might change. I can't predict that. I can't say for sure that it's going to happen, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on.
Is it also that the religiously unaffiliated category actually has a lot of variety, and with it, one person might be a hardcore Richard Dawkins quoting atheist, another might be somebody who considers themselves spiritual but doesn't like organized religion, another might be a loosely Christian but not attached to a formal church, so maybe they don't have a commonality of interests?
You are absolutely right that there's a lot of diversity among the religious nuns. It does include people who do not believe in God at all. It includes other people who are unsure, agnostics, who are unsure whether or not God exists. And the largest group of religious nuns are people who describe their religion as just nothing in particular. They're not necessarily hostile toward religion. They don't necessarily have anything against it. They're just not particularly involved in any religious organization. So that's a diverse group. However, it's also worth pointing out that the same thing is true for people from all kinds of religious background. When we talk about Catholics, that's a big, broad group that includes people who attend Mass every week and maybe go to confession every month and are very committed in their practice of the Catholic faith, and others who identify as Catholic by virtue of the way they were raised or their family background, and maybe they go to church on Christmas and Easter, but beyond that aren't particularly involved. So that diversity of opinion, of experience, of commitment is common not just among the nuns, but among all kinds of religious groups.
So big picture, we have, according to the data, Christians overrepresented as compared to the population as a whole in Congress. The unaffiliated, the nuns, underrepresented compared to the population as a whole. I know you don't really place value judgments on the research you collect, but what do you make of this gap?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask and have asked what impact the religious identity of members of Congress, what impact does that have on the way they vote? And that's a really hard question to answer. You know, we don't have data. We have these data on the religious identity of members of Congress, but we don't have data on their religious beliefs, on their religious practices. We don't have data on how much they say their religion does or doesn't influence the way they vote. I think maybe one thing to keep in mind is that one important factor in determining how people vote in Congress is their partisanship, their party identity. And what we see there is that Christians constitute the big majority in both the Republican and the Democratic caucuses on Capitol Hill. And so that makes it really tough to disentangle just how much religion might drive the way that people vote as opposed to their partisanship.
We'll leave it there for now. Greg, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and I enjoyed it.
Greg Smith is Associate Director of Research for the Pew Research Center and works on their domestic religion work, including their Faith on the Hill reporting. He's with us to talk about data that shows that members of Congress identify as Christian at a much higher rate than the U.S. public as a whole.